Cultivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Children are rarely the protagonists of news, but their presence in the news is often cause for alarm. On today's show, the alarm sounds because, again, sounds again, because New Mexican children are the major victims of policies that put their health and well-being at risk, not to mention their opportunities for the future due in part to being among the poorest in the USA. Today we'll have a conversation with Executive Director James Jimenez and Deputy Director Amber Whelan of New Mexico Voices for Children about the dire situation of New Mexico children. For Espejos de Aztlán today, Cristina Bachín. Los niños raramente son protagonistas de noticias y su presencia en los medios de comunicación suele ser motivo de alarma. En el programa de hoy sonará de nuevo la campana de alarma porque los niños nuevo mexicanos son las mayores víctimas de políticas que atentan contra su bienestar y un desarrollo saludable. Sin más decirlo, son los más pobres de Estados Unidos. Hoy vamos a conversar con el director ejecutivo de New Mexico Voices for Children, James Jimenez, y la directora adjunta, Amber Whelan, y vamos a conversar con ellos sobre la situación de los niños, de nuestros niños nuevo mexicanos. Y le damos la bienvenida a James Jimenez and Amber Whelan. Le welcome James Jimenez and Amber Whelan today on our Espejos de Show Aztlán live on our control room on KUNM.
Well, thank you for having us. We very much appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Amber. We already know each other. You have been in this organization for a while as well. Thank you for coming today. We were talking about my invitation today is because this last week was released the Annie EKZ Station report, Kids Count, and every time this report comes, I am always looking to the data. And since I am in New Mexico, the data don't really improve from my point of view. And every time I look into that is like, are we getting numbed by these numbers and we are not getting the alarm it's giving to us, these statistics? Because first moment, first glance, they are horrendous, these numbers. What do you think about the situation of New Mexican children regarding this report, but regarding the whole situation that you had the chance to look for?
Well, thank you, Christina. And you're right. The data is horrendous, particularly when we look at these 16 indicators. These are indicators that the Annie E. Casey Foundation uses to rank the well-being of children all across this country. And as you've implied, the children in New Mexico are not doing well. In fact, we rank 50th. This is the second time since 2013 that we've ranked last in the country in child well-being. And over the course of our time together, we hope to talk about what some of the specifics are. But one of the things I would say is that we clearly hope that people have not become numb to this. In 2013, when we fell to 50th, my predecessor, Veronica Garcia, and we were working together, and we expected there to be an outcry that the policymakers would say, that's not right. We can do better by our children. Unfortunately, there was nothing. This year, because it's an election year, we think things are ripe for change, and we think this is really the best time for us to recommit ourselves to making this really the best place to be a child and for families to raise their children.
Amber, you have been also going through all this data, and I guess you can also give us your mirada, your way of looking at that, at this.
Well, you know, I think you made an interesting point, Christina. You talked about the data, but more importantly, I think the big question is, what does that actually mean for kids in New Mexico?
And how many children we are talking about?
Yeah. So at New Mexico Voices for Children, we go through this data a lot, and we're all about data, and we communicate a lot with numbers. But I think it's important to look past and look at the story of child well-being in New Mexico. And so, for example, one of the areas where we're doing very poorly, the worst in the nation, is the number of children in poverty. And so 30% of New Mexico's kids, or 145,000 New Mexico kids, live in poverty. And those sound like big numbers. But when you think about what that means for kids, what that means for kids is that kids who live in poverty, they're more likely to be homeless. They're more likely to be hungry. They're more likely to live in neighborhoods where they don't have parks, where they may witness violence firsthand, and they're much less likely to live in families that can afford the sometimes enormous cost of high-quality preschool in our state. So while the data themselves are alarming, we don't want people to become numb to that. We want people to remember what the situation looks like. And when you think about what that looks like for too high a percentage of New Mexico's kids, then it really should be a cause for alarm and a call for action to improve conditions.
We were talking about numbers, and we don't want to overwhelm our listeners with numbers. But in any case, I also wrote for myself the numbers, like handwriting, to have really like the feeling of what's going on. And in the case of this show that is Espejos de Aztlán, and also was taking a look to the race and ethnicity that these numbers are talking about. And one of the things is like we are having 60,000% of children who are Latino, 10% American Indian or Native American. And it looks that they are the most important victims of these policies. Am I right?
You are absolutely right on target. As a matter of fact, 75% of the children in New Mexico are what we call children of color. What that means then, when you look at this data, is that who's bearing the burden, overwhelming burden of poverty and of really poor public policies that we've been pursuing for nearly a decade now? It's really children of color and their families. The statistic Amber talked about with respect to children living in poverty is probably the most troubling because it reflects so much of what we have not done right here in New Mexico. And by that I mean that we have chosen to try and tax cut and budget cut our way to prosperity. That clearly has not worked. What we need to do is recommit ourselves to our children, saying we can do better and we will do better. How will we do that? We will start investing in our children and our families. We know that when businesses are looking to come to New Mexico, the first thing they look for is, do you have a qualified workforce? We've been disinvesting in higher education and our K-12 education. We've begun small advances in early childhood education, but not nearly at the level that we need to really prepare children to be successful in K-12 education.
So we are going towards what are the possible solutions. But before our policies that we need, and also I would like to highlight a point, and it's the topic of this year's report, that is the census. Prior to that, what are the main points on which, when we're talking about poverty with children, what are the main topics that we're talking about?
Certainly, family income is a big determinant of that. It is the determinant of it. What that means is that the economic development strategies that we've tried to pursue for too long have not worked. They clearly have not worked. Family supporting wages are not being paid to too many of New Mexico workers. Matter of fact, we have the highest number of working poor in the country, which is an indication that New Mexicans want to work. They want to work. They're hardworking. We are all hardworking.
I don't have doubt about that. They're very hard workers. Absolutely.
But we're not seeing is the opportunities for them to thrive, to gain the kind of education and training that they need to work in the jobs that this economy is providing.
How about education and health? There is some positive and some negative there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the bright spot in the education domain is that we have improved our rankings and our number of kids who have access to high-quality preschool. And so over time, we've made slow but steady gains in that area, and we think that's due to commitment on the part of legislators to really prioritize programs like pre-K. And so while 30,000 New Mexico kids still don't have access to high-quality preschool programs,
30,000.
30,000.
It's a whole town of kids without that access.
It's a huge number. And mm-hmm. so while we've made improvements, and that's really something to celebrate, there's still a lot of work to be done when you consider the huge needs of our population. And then when you look at our indicators as far as those that hit kids who are in K-12 education, so fourth grade reading, eighth grade math, high school graduation, you'll see that we're at the bottom in all of those indicators. And we really think that that's due to a long-term policy of disinvesting in our kids, of really kind of starving our education budget of the necessary funds that will help our children and help our teachers so that they can help lift our kids up. And so we can do as well as we know our kids can do. Our kids have so much potential, but unfortunately, we're not providing them adequate opportunities to reach that.
One thing I would add to that, Christine, is that for the last 7 years, we've seen this administration in Santa Fe pursue a education reform agenda that has been highly, highly controversial. And because of that, because of the governor's inability to rally people around the reform agenda that they think makes sense for their children and for educators, we're not seeing the kind of progress I know that she wants to see, and really, more importantly, that everybody wants to see. Well, so one of the things that we are looking for in a new governor is someone who can really listen to people carefully and not try and force feed a particular policy agenda that doesn't really work for children and families.
We're going to have a musical cut, and after that, I want to talk with you as we are with, if you're just tuning in, we are with our guests in Espejos de Aslan, Amber Wallin, adjunct or deputy director, and James Jimenez, executive director of New Mexico Voices for Children. And we're talking about this issue that is coming. Every year we're having this like wake up call, as I read that you were mentioning in one of the journalist reports, and it's a wake up call, but we don't awake. What's going on? And we're going to talk with them about what can we do around this topic, because there might be something we can do to improve this situation.
Do you remember when I was keep looking, searching for your love all the way? Maybe step by step fighting for your love now. I never got it, baby.
And this is Espejos de Aslan. This evening we are talking with our guest, Executive Director James Jimenez and Deputy Director Amber Wellin of New Mexico Voices for Children, because usually at this time of the year we are having this like wake-up call that New Mexico Voices for Children is giving us through the Annie E. Casey Foundation that reports about this title, Kids Count. And we have in Spanish a way of saying los niños cuentan. It means not only that you count them, but that you really have to be aware of their existence and their presence. We were talking about we're having this wake-up call telling us that New Mexico is in the lowest place in the United States regarding children, well-being of children. This wake-up call is calling and calling, and what's going on? What can we do that can give us some hope that we have the tools that we can do some difference on that?
Well, Christina, almost a year ago, some colleagues of ours at the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, which is a national foundation, came to us and asked us that very question. They had seen these numbers and said, James and Amber, what would it take for New Mexico to be the best place to raise a child in the country by these metrics? And so Amber spent several months, along with several other staff, completing a report that we call Moving the Needle Report. What that report is all about is it looks at each one of these 16 indicators, and it asks the question, what would it take to be first in the country? What would it take to be mid-range? What would it take just to improve? One of the really striking numbers that Amber found was that in terms of low birth weight babies, there's approximately 25,000 babies born in New Mexico every year. If we just had 750 more babies born at birth weight, at normal birth weight, we would be number one in the nation for that. We think that that's doable if people will commit to it, if we will have policies in place and make the kind of investments that make sense. But Amber can talk specifically about each one of the metrics.
Well, you know, as James said, there's a lot of bad news, but we think the really good news is that not only are kids incredibly resilient, but that we know what works and we know that public policy matters. And so a lot of research backs up the fact that positive public policy can have really powerful benefits for kids that last from birth to adulthood. And so James mentioned one indicator, low birth weight babies. And so what we know is that programs like ensuring that everybody has health insurance, programs like home visiting, where pregnant mothers can actually visit with an expert or with a nurse or a community member ahead of time that can talk with them about how to eat a little better and maybe that you need to get prenatal care and some positive steps that you can start taking to improve the health of your child before they're even born. We know that there's public programs out there that really can make a big difference in a very tangible way for New Mexico kids and families. And we've really seen that firsthand in New Mexico in recent years. So one indicator, the number of children without health insurance, back to 6 years ago in 2012, that was 10% of New Mexico kids. Now it's only 5%. And that's directly due to the expansion of the Affordable Care Act in New Mexico. And so while people
that's one of the only good things that we had thanks to that in the health insurance or children insured, which means that good policies can help a lot.
Exactly. You know, and earlier you talked about equity, and equity isn't one of those things that just happens. You know, it's a product of the systems and policies that really work together to ensure that everybody can participate equally and that all children can really have the opportunity to thrive and to reach their full potential. And so, unfortunately, of course, we know in New Mexico that too often that's not the case for children, especially children of color. But the really good news is that, again, our kids are just incredibly strong and resilient. Our communities are resilient and supportive. And there really are very concrete steps that policymakers can take to improve child well-being in our state.
What can we do to help to push those policies to become action?
Well, among the most important things that people can do is to make sure that they are registered to vote, number one. The second part of that is when a candidate comes to your door and asks for your vote, ask him the question, what are you doing about improving conditions for children? It's unacceptable that our children are last in the country for well-being. Tell me, candidate, what specifically are you going to do that's going to improve conditions for all of our children? Because they are all of our children. They are our future. You know, we often hear people say that children are our most important asset. Well, this data proves that we're not really following that up with the kinds of investments that we know work to improve child well-being.
Well, and, you know, James is talking about elections, and just to say that we are a nonpartisan organization, and for us, child well-being is not partisan. It's not about right or left. It's about right or wrong. And we think that it's wrong that 30% of New Mexico kids live in poverty. We think it's wrong that we have underfunded health and education programs. We think it's wrong that we are underpaying and understaffing our teachers and our guidance counselors and our protective service caseworkers. So again, this is child well-being is not a partisan issue, but it really is a moral one. And as James said, we think it's just incredibly important that this 50th ranking be used as a call to action. And we're really interested in hearing what candidates from both sides of the aisle have to say about how they would improve child well-being in our state.
And also, I have a friend who says that a society that doesn't take care of their children and their elders is an uncivilized society. And it doesn't matter how much money do we have. Sometimes it really, I have been traveling all throughout Latin America, and there are some places where they are not as rich that it looks like the United States, but they take care of their children. And a society that does really take care of their children is a civilized society. It looks that we need to grow as a society as well, isn't it?
Well, one of the ways I would respond to that is that, first, I agree. On the other hand, I would say that these 16 indicators don't tell the complete story of New Mexico's children. So even when families, some families are living in poverty, when they don't have the kinds of financial assets that maybe families in California or other states do, that doesn't mean that they aren't strong and resilient, that there are cultural aspects to New Mexico that are really, really important to retain and to continue to allow them to practice the culture that is meaningful to them and that helps that child be really fully well-developed and understand their place in the world. Nevertheless, we think that there are ways that we can better support families so that we do show that we have made a commitment to our children and to our elders.
There is something that will be coming soon that also will help the funds for our state. There's a topic about the census that is coming. Can we mention a little bit about that topic? Why might be is really so important to be counted?
The census is going to be incredibly important for New Mexico. So the decennial census that happens every 10 years in 2020, that's a big deal for New Mexico because that determines our democratic representation. So everything from the U.S. House of Representatives down to school board districts are determined by the census counts. But just as importantly, that determines about $6.2 billion, with a B, in federal funding that comes to New Mexico every year. So that determines how much we will get in things like Medicaid, SNAP, school lunch programs, Head Start. It's just critically important that all New Mexicans are counted in the census. And unfortunately, one of the things that the data book also shows is that we have the highest undercount rate, especially among children, out of the entire United States. And so more than ever, it's really important that we get the census count right to ensure that the census is well-funded and to ensure that everybody participates and is represented.
Thanks, Amber Welling. We'll bring back that topic again when we'll be close to the census and to emphasize that fact. And thank you so much, James Jimenez, for coming today for our Espejos de Aztlán show. If our listeners would like to know more about this report, where can they find it?
Everything can be found on our website, and that's www.nmvoices.com. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you so much to you both, and not only for coming here, but also for your work.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you.